Yeah, I thought I'd keep it very simple today. I think we need to go through this because we need to know who we are. I think there's a lot of confusion about all that sometimes. And so I just want to talk about Jews, Gentiles, and Christians. And who are they? Try to define those terms, what they mean, where the Bible does, and give you distinctions in it, where the Bible does. And let's try and clear up some of the confusion I think some of you have. One source of possible confusion is the term Jewishness. What really constitutes Jewishness? Who is a Jew? Does the term denote a race, a religion, an ethnic group, or a nationality? In contrast to Jew is the term Gentile. And so the other question is, who is a Gentile? This too needs a kind of a clear-cut definition. And another confusing term I know of is Christianity. Is a Christian one who is born of Christian parents? Can one become a Christian merely by joining a church or by being baptized? Then there's more terms. You think we had enough with those three? There's Hebrew Christianity or Messianic Jewishness. Who is a Hebrew Christian? Who is a Messianic Jew or such? A person is sometimes called a Christian Jew. How is it possible for a person to be both a Jew and a Christian? Some people say you can't do that. Can the terms Hebrew and Christian be reconciled? Or should those identifying themselves by those terms be called schizophrenics? Half here and half there, or where am I? I sometimes feel that way myself when I wake up. These are all important questions, especially for those involved in the ministry of Jewish evangelism. If you're going to run into Jews, you got to have your guns loaded and know what you're talking about. In fact, it's almost impossible to convey clearly what the gospel is all about until there is a clear-cut conveyance about what those terms all mean. As soon as one uses some of those terms to a hearer, a person that listens. I'm from New York, so I talk funny. And the hearer, the guy that listens, understands them to mean something different from what the speaker means by them, then there's confusion and lack of communication. I mean, I learned a long time ago, the message sent and the message received has to be exactly the same. And nowhere better is it demonstrated than in the drive-thru. I'll have a Big Mac and fries and a Coke. Did you say a Big Mac, fries, and Coke? Because if you don't get it when you get to the window, there's going to be a trouble, right? It's got to be exactly what you ordered. And that's communication, when the listener understands what the receiver says. And so that doesn't happen with all these terms that we have. So many times Jewish peoples will simply turn away from the gospel because of a lack of understanding or just confusion about things. So we first come to the term of who is a Jew. There are a few topics in the Jewish world that have been more debated than that one. To this day, there is no consistent definition of who is a Jew. Let me read you a public opinion poll. It was conducted in order to try to determine the definition of a Jew would be as Jewish people understood it. So they interviewed 1,500 Jewish families, and these were the results. 12% said that a Jew is a person whose father or mother is Jewish or has a Jewish spouse. So you're a Jew if you're married to a Jew. 23% claim that a Jew is a person who considers himself to be a Jew. So if you think you're a Jew, you are a Jew. 19% held that a man born to a Jewish mother or who converts to Judaism is a Jew. 13% said a Jew is one who lives in Israel or who identifies with the Jewish state. So if you say, I like Israel, you're a Jew. 13% stated that a Jew is one who observes the Jewish religious practices. 11% answered that a Jew is one who is raised and educated as a Jew. And 9% say they didn't know. These results were recorded in the Jerusalem Post, but they all exclude one group of people, Messianic Jews. But at the same time, it also excludes a large number of other Jews who do not observe Jewish religious practice. So, five definitions, but would by no means rule out a Messianic Jew. Let me give you five definitions. The Hebrew Christian or Messianic Jewish definition. The Messianic Jewish definition has an objective standard. It goes back to the very source of Jewishness. We call it the Scriptures. The further any definition departs from Scripture, the foggier it gets. Okay? The Messianic Jew is forced to define Jewishness in the biblical sense of the term, for to him the Scriptures are the source of authority. Hence, the Messianic Jewish definition can also be called the biblical definition. So to do a look at that, we need to go to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And that's where God said to Abraham, get out of your country and your kindred and from your father's house and onto the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We all know those verses very well. It's further described in two other passages, though. Genesis 13, 15 through 16. For all the land which you see, to you I will give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then may your seed also be numbered. And Genesis 15, verses 4 and 5. And behold, the word of God came unto him, saying, this man shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth from your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him faith abroad and said, look now toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your seed be. So later, the Abrahamic covenant gets confirmed through Isaac in Genesis 26, verses 2 through 5. And God appeared to him and said, go down, not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of, sojourn in the land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and your seed I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto your seed and all these lands, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And verse 24 says, God appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And then it gets confirmed to Jacob in Genesis 28, 13 through 15. And God said, I am God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, I give it to, and you to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you again into the land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. So from the Abrahamic covenant, a simple definition of Jewishness can be deduced. It lies in the repeated statement that a nation will come through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and thus defines Jewishness in terms of nationality. But unlike the view of many Israelis, this nationality is not confined to the state of Israel alone. It includes all the Jewish people, no matter where they are. It is a nationality based on descent. Biblically speaking, the Jewish people are a nation. Today, we are a scattered nation, but we're still a nation. We are a nation because we are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's in my family tree somewhere. The implication of this definition is that no matter what a Jew does, he can never become not Jewish. No matter what an individual Jew may believe or disbelieve, he remains a Jew. I'm descended from a Jew, so that makes me a Jew. A Negro who is a believer, a Muslim, or a Buddhist remains. A Negro, a Chinaman who becomes a believer remains a Chinese. A Chinaman who remains a Buddhist also remains Chinese. He can never not be Chinese. The same is true of the Jew. Whether Orthodox, Reformed, atheist, or communist, or nothingist, if a Jew chooses to believe that Yeshua or Jesus is his Messiah, he too stays a Jew. He doesn't change. He doesn't become something else. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can change the fact that I am a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's in my family tree. Therefore, I am Jewish. So at this point, we got problems with mixed marriages. These children are usually designated half-Jewish or half-Gentile. The theology of Judaism teaches that Jewishness is determined by the mother. That's the theology of Judaism. If the mother is Jewish, then the children are Jewish. But, again, this is a departure from the biblical norm and is therefore rejected by Messianic Jews. In the scriptures, it is not the mother who determines Jewishness, but the father. Consequently, all the genealogies that are in the Old and New Testament list the names of the men. They don't list any women, except for a couple, except in cases where a mother was notable in Jewish history, like Rahab or Ruth, right? Thus, if the father is Jewish, the children are Jewish. King David was definitely Jewish, although his great-grandmother was Ruth, who was a Moabite. And Rahab was not a Jew either, was she? And she's in his family tree too. So, if the scriptures are used as the objective standard, which I like to do, then the definition of a Gentile is equally simple. A Gentile is simply anyone who is not descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Simple as that. In short, a Gentile is anyone who's not Jewish. The implication, again, is that no matter what a Gentile does, he can never become a non-Gentile. But that raises the question of Gentiles who have converted to Judaism. Can they properly be called Jews? On the basis of Scripture, the answer is no. The Jew is the nationality. The religion is Judaism. Acceptance of Judaism by a Gentile does not make him a Jew, but makes him a proselyte. Y'all heard that term before? We see the distinction between Jews and proselytes in Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land and make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. It should be noted that these evangelists for Judaism are not said to seek to make one a Jew, but to make one a proselyte. A second passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 10, which is at the end of a list of place names, shows the origins of the multitude that had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot. The list ends with the phrase, both Jews and proselytes. Again, there is that distinction. Acts 6, verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch, proselyte. In this passage, there's a distinction made between Nicolaus and the rest. The others were all Jews who had accepted Yeshua as their Messiah, but Nicolaus was a proselyte, a Gentile convert to Judaism who had accepted him. The final example is in Acts 13, 43. Now when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them urged them to continue in the grace of God. The same distinction is clearly made. Again, Gentile converts to Judaism are never given the title Jew. They are never called Jews. The chief Old Testament example of a Gentile convert to Judaism is Ruth. Many Gentiles have tried to claim Jewishness on the principle of conversion based on Ruth's story. But Ruth is consistently called a Moabitess. Never called a Jew. Both before and after her acceptance of the God of Israel, you can look all the way through the book of Ruth and see that. The conclusion is that a Gentile cannot do anything to become a non-Gentile. You can't dismiss what God has made you. And I can't dismiss what God has made me. And no one can tell me that I'm no longer Jewish, because a person who accepts Yeshua, according to the rabbis, is no longer Jewish. They can't do that. Next thing we need to know, who's a Christian? Man, that's a tough word. The messianic believer is forced to go to the scriptures again to determine the true definition. The New Testament divides the world into three groups of people: Jews, Gentiles, and Christians, according to 1 Corinthians 10:32. It plainly teaches that no one can ever be born a Christian. Either he is born a Jew or born a Gentile. A Christian, however, is either a Jew or a Gentile who has made a personal decision to become a believer in Jesus, the Messiah. He is not one who merely holds a church membership or is baptized. These may follow the personal decisions, but they cannot be the cause of one becoming a Christian. You can't just say, I'm a Christian because I belong to the First Church of the Christianites. A Christian is a Jew or a Gentile who has come to realize that a man is born in a state of sin and for this reason is separated from God. Thus, the penalty for sin must first be paid if he is to come to know God in a personal way. However, being a sinner, an individual Jew or an individual Gentile cannot by himself pay the price or penalty for sin. This was the purpose of the Messiah, whom many Jews and Gentiles know to be Jesus. At his death, the Messiah became the substitute for sin and thus paid the penalty for it. Both the Old and New Testaments teach that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Leviticus 17:11 says that. And in Hebrews 9:22, it says the same thing. The clear teaching is this: without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Under the law, the Torah, there was a temporary provision made by the shedding of animal blood. But the Messiah was to be the final blood sacrifice for sin. It is those who believe in the Messiahship of Yeshua among the Jews and Jesus among the Gentiles, who are biblically to be classed as Christian. In Acts 11:26, again, it is not a matter of baptism, and it is not a matter of being a member of a church. There is nothing else anyone can or must do to become a Christian except to believe in Yeshua, the Messiah. The basic content of faith is that one must believe to be a Christian, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 1 through 4. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which is preached unto you, which you also receive, wherein also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, that Yeshua died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he has been raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The content of faith in the gospel involving the substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. What is the gospel? The gospel is three very simple and basic points. First, Yeshua died for our sins. Secondly, he was buried. And thirdly, he rose again on the third day. There's nothing more to the gospel than that. That which determines whether or not a person is a Christian is his willingness to place his faith or belief in Yeshua as the substitute for sin. So what must he do as described in John 1:12? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to them that believed on his name. So a person who at some point in his life personally received the Messiah as the one who made atonement for sins experienced what is to become a Christian. Thus, if anyone says he was born a Christian, This is an obvious sign that he is not. Becoming a Christian is an experience by which one comes to know God through Yeshua, the Messiah, and by which the sin separating the individual from God is removed. Christians are made, not born. So, the New Testament teaches that everyone is born either a Jew or a Gentile. And as Christians, and Christians are Jews and Gentiles who believe in the Messiahship of Yeshua. So, now we've been coming to the point we've been working towards, defining Hebrew Christianity and Messianic Judaism, or Jewishness. In the common view, the term Hebrew Christianity is a contradiction. One can either be a Jew or a Messianic believer, but to be both at once in that view is impossible. One Jewish writer stated that the term Jewish Christian challenges logic. Another writer limited the title to Jewish believers in the Messiah during the first century, but not after that. This view was held by a number of professors. They used the term Jewish Christians in relation to Jewish believers during the first century, but did not recognize that as a valid term for today. But they never explained what they considered to be the difference between the first century believers and the present day believers. What then is a Hebrew Christian? If a Jew is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which we believe to be the proper biblical definition, and if a Christian is one who personally, by his own decision, accepted Yeshua of Nazareth as his Messiah, then a Hebrew Christian is a Jew who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah. By faith, Jewish believers align themselves with other believers in the Messiah, whether Jews or Gentiles, but nationally, they identify themselves with the Jewish people. A Messianic Jew, therefore, must acknowledge that he is both a Jew and a believer in the Messiahship of Yeshua. If a Jew accepts baptism solely to lose his identity as a Jew, he is by no means to be considered a Messianic Jew. He's a renegade, he's a traitor, he's an apostate. We have Jews who go to churches and just drop their Jewishness, and they sit there. They're traitors to the cause. A Messianic believer is proud of his Jewishness. I am proud to be a Jew. I am excited to be a Jew. It's great that I am a Jew. He is proud of his faith in Messiah Yeshua. I am so happy to be following Yeshua as my Messiah. The experience by which a Jew becomes a believer is just as much a mystery as that by which a Gentile becomes a believer. We all have stories of how we came to believe. Some are more exciting than others, but we all came to believe in one way or another, and we all have an exciting story to tell. The experience can be described, but it cannot be explained, I'll bet. The center of the experience is the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, although the causes which brought about it may differ. Perhaps it was the testimony of another Messianic Jew. Maybe it was the printed word, the preaching, or the reading of the New Testament. The causes vary, but the results are always the same. Yeshua, the Messiah, becomes the object of faith and trust. I came to believe, I was sitting in a Nazarene church and I didn't think you could be Jewish. When I got saved, I didn't know that I could be Jewish and be saved. I was a Nazarene, happy, fat, dumb, and happy, doing Christian things, churchy things. And when I was leaving that place, I saw a sign on the bulletin board that said, if you would like to buy rubber stamps, write to Jews for Jesus in San Francisco. I said, that's an oxymoron. You can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. But I wrote to them, and they sent me the name and address of a person here in Omaha, and a Gentile too, who started mentoring me. And for 3 years, I studied under him and learned that I could be Jewish and believe in Yeshua because I am Jewish, and that I didn't convert to Christianity. I became fulfilled. I became completed in my Messiah. What an awesome experience that was. Wow. So it's clear from Scripture that Messianic believers never lose their Jewishness. Their Jewishness and Messianic Jewishness are not contradictory terms. Each complements and fulfills the other. This is one of the reasons Jews often prefer to call themselves completed Jews rather than converted Jews. The term converted means you were this, but you are no longer that. When we use the term converted Catholic, we mean that a person used to be Catholic, but is no longer Catholic, right? Or we say that he is a converted alcoholic. That means he used to be a drunk, but he's no longer a drunk. He got converted to sobriety, I guess. However, we cannot properly use the term converted Jew. This implies that a believer who used to be a Jew, but is no longer a Jew. Jewish believers always remain Jews without exception. Jewish believers do not refer to themselves as converted Jews. We are converted sinners. We are completed Jews because belief in the Messiahship of Yeshua completes our Jewishness. It does not negate it. The best evidence of this is the great Apostle Paul, who affirmed he was Jewish, still is, who affirmed both his Jewishness and his faith in Messiah of Yeshua. Let's look at three examples from his own writings. This is what he wrote. First, in Romans 11:1, Paul says, "I say then, did God cast off his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." He's saying, I'm Jewish. Romans 11:1, he says he's Jewish. He's a seed of Abraham. He's an Israelite from a tribe of Benjamin. That's one of the 12. In subsequent verses, he also clearly affirms himself as being a member of the remnant according to the election of grace. Another verse in which he clearly affirms his Jewishness and his faith in Yeshua is 2 Corinthians 11:22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Whereas in the Old Testament times, the terms Hebrews, Israelites, and the seed of Abraham and Jews were kept distinct, but by the time of the New Testament, these terms were synonymously used. That is why Paul called himself a Jew, a Hebrew, an Israelite. Notice that even after he became a believer, he does not say, used to be. Not in there. He never used to be an Israelite. He never used to be a Hebrew. He never used to be from the seed of Abraham. He uses the present tense. If I'm not from the seed of Abraham, who's my papa? What seed should I be from? I don't know. Third place where he clearly reaffirms this is in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 8. Though I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if any other man thinks to have confidence in the flesh, I yet more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, he's even a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is the law, found blameless. Howbeit what these things were gained to me, these what I counted loss for Christ. Yet verily, and I count all things to be the loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them, but I refuse that I may gain Christ. So in this passage, more extensive than the others, Paul clearly affirms himself to be a Jew and a believer in the Messiahship of Yeshua. What Paul did, Jewish believers still today must do. We must reaffirm both our faith in the Messiahship of Yeshua and confirm our Jewishness as well. We could say that Jewishness and Messianic Jewishness, well, they're in full agreement. I don't see any difference between me and the Orthodox rabbi down the street, except he has a different rabbi he follows. Right? I'm a Jewish believer in Yeshua. I like to call myself a Jewish believer. I don't like to call myself a Christian because today the term Christian is misused. In many instances, everybody calls themselves Christians. There's atheistic Christians, there's gay Christians, there's happy Christians, there's sad Christians, there's clown Christians, there's Christians who don't believe in Jesus, there's Christians who do believe in Jesus. Mormons call themselves Christians, and Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves Christians, but they don't believe in Jesus. I'm a Jewish believer in Yeshua. And if you're sitting here today and you're not Jewish, you could call yourself something like, I'm a Gentile believer in Yeshua. That's a good word. I think we should do that. That's what I see you all as. We are all believers. I love that monkey song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But it goes, I'm a believer. Anybody know how to sing it? Paul, you know that one? I'm a believer. We are all believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, our Messiah. And I will not change that I'm not Jewish. I am Jewish to the bone. You know, that's it. I was born Jew. I'm going to die a Jew and then be raised as a Jew to live with another Jew. Amen. Forever and ever and ever. Amen.